Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to the Elchar Chronicles. I am your host, Karen Elchar. This program chronicles issues of law and order in our local justice system, the environment, and Indigenous history with special guests that dig deep into topics less talked about here in the Lehigh Valley. This evening's topic is Pennsylvania House Bill 1776, a constitutional amendment to create an independent redistricting commission. And I'm pleased to welcome my guest, Carol Cunningholm, Fair Districts PA Chair.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining me today. Can you give us a bit of background on the organization?
So Fair Districts PA is actually a fiscal project of the League of Women Voters and was started in 2016. I was the Vice President for Government and Social Policy at the time for the state board of the League of Women Voters. And the League had noticed for quite a long time that there were issues of great concern to the League that got no attention at all, and had also worked on redistricting reform since the 1980s without any real impact. And so as the Vice President for Government and Social Policy, I started digging in a little bit. And at that time, we were invited to a meeting with Senator Lisa Boscola, who had a bill to create an independent citizens redistricting commission. And one of the things she said in that meeting really struck me. She said, unless the advocates make a lot of noise, this will never happen. And I walked away thinking, these are senators saying that the advocates are the ones who need to make noise to get this reform passed. And what does it look like to make noise? And how do we do that? So Fair Districts PA really came out of that meeting, the thought that we need to focus more energy and more attention on foundational reform. And this is the first foundational reform that we need in Pennsylvania.
And so what got you actually interested in pursuing this?
Well, I was actually a youth pastor for a number of years. And as a youth pastor, I worked with a church in Mainline, Philadelphia area, a fairly affluent church. And we had a partnership with a church in Kensington, one of the poorest neighborhoods in Philadelphia. And so I knew teenagers who went to some of the most well-funded schools in the state and some of the least well-funded schools in the state. And I just didn't understand how that was possible, who made those decisions, how they were held in place. And so I began digging. I had never paid attention to politics ever. And I began trying to understand that. And that's how I got involved with the League of Women Voters, because I stumbled across women who understood that it was our state government's low contribution to education and crazy school funding formula that was behind it. And that got me interested in school funding, state legislative process. But there were people who were saying, unless we fix redistricting, we will never be able to fix school funding. And that's kind of how I became interested in the whole state policy government issue.
So that was more of an education aspect regarding the districting. What else?
Well, so actually, one of the first legislators I worked with, Senator Lisa Boscola, kind of piqued my interest in why we need to look at redistricting. But Representative David Parker from Monroe County was prime sponsor of the first House bill we supported. And he and I had lots of conversations about the way Monroe County had been divided up so that had no representation in Harrisburg and had been drastically underfunded. He made the case strongly for the fact that underfunded schools, lack of representation, gerrymandering were all part of the same piece. And the more I've explored this, the more I've looked at it, I see many, many issues of real concern to Pennsylvanians that just never get attention in our state legislature because leaders aren't interested. And the leaders draw the lines, the leaders set the agenda, the leaders take large contributions from wealthy donors. And the people of Pennsylvania are harmed by total lack of representation. No matter what party you are, this is a system that really quiets your voice and allows leaders to do what they want without much regard for voters.
So you mentioned gerrymandering. Just for our listeners' sake, can you just talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, and I had never heard of gerrymandering, I'll be honest, until I started, you know, I think 2015 was the first I actually heard the word. When people started talking about gerrymandering, I went and did my homework. But gerrymandering is drawing voting district lines to benefit a party or a person. And it comes from Elbridge Gerry, who was the governor of Massachusetts back in 1812. He signed off on a map that one district looked like a salamander. And it was for the benefit of his party, which was the Democratic Republicans. So both parties are implicated in the start of this. But the word gerrymander was coined by the press of the time, who called him out for a district map that was designed to keep a particular incumbent in power and to give his party more power than the other party. And that's been going on ever since. But the problem more recently has been that technology has made it much more possible to draw more and more precise gerrymanders. So if you look at the maps of 2011 and 2012 here in Pennsylvania, we probably had the most gerrymandered congressional map and the most gerrymandered House and Senate maps in the country, drawn very precisely to keep one party in power, to keep specific incumbents in power. And gerrymandering has been a great harm to the people of Pennsylvania.
How does it look now?
Well, the newest maps are better. There was a League of Women Voters lawsuit in 2018 challenging the congressional map as an extreme partisan gerrymander. And the Supreme Court said that that was true. They found the map that was in existence unlawful. That map had been drawn to give Republicans more congressional districts, even as Pennsylvania was losing congressional districts. And so they had locked in 13 out of 18 congressional districts went Republican, even when we elected a Democratic governor. So the Supreme Court said that's unlawful, drew a new map that gave nine, they didn't give, but they made it more, they created a number of more competitive districts, but drew it in a way that the outcome of our congressional races in the next two in 2018 and 2020 reflected the votes so that there were nine Republicans, nine Democrats, which is probably about what it should be. And the newest map, the Supreme Court got involved again because the governor vetoed the map drawn by the state legislature. The state legislature didn't draw a new one, and the court then stepped in and provided a map. And the outcome of that one was 9-8, which again is very close to what it should be. For the state House and Senate maps, it was a much more public process. There was much more public engagement. We, Fair Districts PA, created what we call the People's Map and submitted that. There were other citizens who submitted maps. Thousands of people gave testimony. And so the new maps are significantly better than the old. The House map in particular, by quite a number of metrics, surpassed our People's Map. We were impressed when we saw it. The Senate map did not come as close as ours was. And we've learned the term buddymander, which is a gerrymander done to protect incumbents from both sides. And the Senate map is a bit of a buddymander, protecting incumbents on both sides, but by metrics, better than previous Senate maps.
And previously, when you mentioned Supreme Court, you mean the state Supreme Court?
The state Supreme Court, yes. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting lawsuit, the 2018 lawsuit, because previous lawsuits had gone to federal court, and the U.S. Supreme Court has consistently refused to get involved in partisan gerrymanders. But the 2018 lawsuit brought by the Public Interest Law Center addressed the state constitution's promise of free and equal elections. And so they made the case that if gerrymandering deprives us of the power of our vote, we no longer have free and equal elections. And that's what the PA Supreme Court said. That's right. So partisan gerrymandering, that was the first case in the country where a state Supreme Court that appealed to a state constitution. And Pennsylvania's constitution was the model for many in the country. So there are other states who have since done the same thing, said our constitution promises free and equal elections. Partisan gerrymanders deprive us of that. And there have been other state courts that have found the same thing.
So is the gerrymandering issue, is that being addressed by the state representatives and the state senators?
We have been pursuing reform of the redistricting process for a long time. And actually the efforts, as I said, the League of Women Voters has been working on this since the 1980s. There have been bills introduced, dozens of bills introduced since the 1980s. There was a bill in 2008 introduced by Representative Steve Samuelson from Bethlehem that was had the most co-sponsors of that session. And a Democratic committee chair of the chair of the House State Government Committee, Babette Josephs, refused to give his bill a vote in 2008. And the Democratic leadership at the time was very sure that they would have the power of the pen in the next redistricting, and so blocked an attempt at reform. As it turned out, there was something called Red Map 2010, which was Republican money poured into states like Pennsylvania to capture the state legislature, to capture the redistricting process, to draw the maps. And Red Map 2010 did very slick public outreach to get some Democratic incumbents out of office in time for the new mapping. and the Republicans control the process. And I don't know if the Democrats leaders who blocked that bill regretted it, but they certainly did not do the people of Pennsylvania any benefit by blocking that bill. And we're in the same place now. We have a bill that was just introduced this week, again, by Representative Steve Samuelson, to do the same thing. He actually had a bill in 2018 that had 110 co-sponsors, which we were supporting. That bill, 110 co-sponsors, is more than a majority in the House. So you would think a bill that has more than a majority co-sponsoring it would get a vote in committee. He attempted a move to get a vote in committee, and the committee chair gutted the bill in committee, never voted it out of committee, and broke a number of legislative rules in the process. So we've learned a lot watching how this plays out. We understand that leaders on both sides prefer to consider themselves the ones who will draw the next maps, but we know that history doesn't always go the way that they want, and we think it would be better for everybody if this latest bill were to pass before the next redistricting.
So with the incident that happened where it didn't come out of committee because gentlemen broke some of the rules, was there any repercussion to that?
Well, certainly, I would say among advocates, among voters, there was a lot of frustration. And we have since, what was interesting, the vote to do that was announced with less than 24 hours notice and without any agenda. And we had legislators, including Representative Samuelson, but others calling us to say, they're going to vote on that bill you support tomorrow in committee, and you should be there. So we ended up packing the committee room and overflow with people just to watch. And we watched as Representative Darrell Metcalf, the committee chair, showed up with a constitutional amendment in hand, paper, which was distributed to the committee. And then they voted. And there were representatives who said, you're asking us to vote on a constitutional amendment we haven't had time to read. Can we delay so we have time to read it? There was a party line vote refusing delay, and then there was a vote to accept the constitutional amendment that nobody had had a chance to read. So we had legislators and former legislators then contacting us, Fair Districts PA, to say, now you see how our state legislature works. You see how impervious it is to voters, how disrespectful it is of legislative process, how dysfunctional it is. So since then, we've started what we call the Fix Harrisburg campaign, which is a joint campaign of the League of Women Voters of Pennsylvania and Fair Districts PA, just looking at legislative process, trying to help voters understand it's very broken, it's very leader dominated. And so you may have legislators who promise you wonderful things and go to Harrisburg and discover none of that's going to happen. And it's been sad to see some incumbents who worked very closely with us, who understand the process, who really want to see it fixed, get voted out of office in primaries by people who come and say, they promised you this and they didn't do it, so we should vote them out. And the newcomers don't understand the process and get to Harrisburg and discover, oh, I can't do it either. So our legislative process is badly broken and is not very responsive to voters. Fixing gerrymandering is one step towards a more representative legislature, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, we're going to take a short break. You are listening to the LHR Chronicles with my guest, Carol Cunningholm, Fair Districts PA Chair, and we're discussing Pennsylvania House Bill 1776, a constitutional amendment to create an independent redistricting commission. Do stay tuned.
Weekend Edition Saturday is a well-rounded news talk program about the economy, music, literature, and more. Join host Scott Simon and company as they discuss the latest events happening around the world. Start your weekend off with great programming beginning with Weekend Edition Saturday at 8 a.m., followed by NPR's Fresh Air Weekend at 10 a.m., and great folk, blues, and Americana on All Reed Street at 11 a.m., all here on WDIY. WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the LHR Chronicles. We're talking to guest Carol Cunningholm, Fair Districts PA Chair, discussing Pennsylvania House Bill 1776, a constitutional amendment to create an independent redistricting commission. All right, so let's talk about House Bill 1776. So when was it introduced and who introduced it?
House Bill 1776 has just been introduced by Representative Steve Samuelson from Bethlehem, a Democrat, and Representative Mark Gillen from Berks County, who is a Republican. And before I talk about the bill, I probably should step back and say that currently we have two processes for redistricting in Pennsylvania. One for congressional, which is just a bill that gets introduced by a committee chair, or we don't know who. It gets introduced and then it gets passed through both chambers and then it gets signed by the governor. And if both chambers and the governor are the same party, they can do a lot of mayhem and just pack it in a way that benefits their own party, which is what we saw happen in 2011, 2012. So that's the congressional districts. Just a bill passes through. And then the other is something called the Legislative Reapportionment Commission, which is a five-person commission that draws the Pennsylvania State House and Senate districts. And those commissioners, four of them are legislative leaders. So the majority leader in the House and the Senate, the minority leader in the House and the Senate. And then they're supposed to select a chair, an impartial chair, and they have never done that. They can never agree. And so if they don't agree, then it goes to the state Supreme Court. So the state Supreme Court, ever since this has been put into law back in the 1960s, the state Supreme Court chooses the chair and chose this past time someone named Mark Nordenberg, who was, we believe, a very moderate, very fair, very attentive chair who tried very hard to include public input. But again, he was working with four legislative leaders and they had a large part of the vote. What we're proposing, what this bill proposes, Representative Samuelson and Representative Gillen's bill, House Bill 1776, would create an independent commission composed of people who are not elected officials, who are not party leaders. It would have 11 commissioners, four from each major party, three unaffiliated or third party commissioners. It would be chosen in a way that does not allow party leaders to pack it with their own people. And the commission itself would have the final say on the map. It would not go back to the legislature to approve. There are rules for public hearings, for public input, for a public platform where people can submit comments or submit maps, and opportunity for the public to give feedback once initial maps are proposed, and then some really strong criteria. Right now, the House and Senate bill, House and Senate districts, the criteria is that they be compact and contiguous. That is, no parts of them floating around separate from the main part of the district, and divide municipalities, counties, wards as little as possible. And those rules have been ignored consistently. The bill we propose would have much stronger criteria, some limits on how many times a county can be divided, some information about population deviations, how big the deviations can be between districts, and all of that in ranked order so that minority representation would be there as an important criteria. Community input would be a criteria. All of that put into ranked order. So as the commission does their work, they can see this is more important than that. Whenever you draw a map, all of those things are in tension with each other. And so this bill is an attempt to put some prioritization and some stricter boundaries on how that's done.
One additional question. Would the fair districts be one of the commission participants?
The way the bill is constructed is there would be an advertising period where anybody could apply to be a commissioner. So any fair districts person could apply to be a commissioner. They'd have to apply just like anybody else, and they'd have to be someone who's been in the same party for a certain number of years, hasn't given large amounts of money to candidates in a certain number of years. So there's some restrictions on who can apply, but anybody who meets those restrictions could apply. And then there's a whittling down of the applications, looking at, are they actually who they say they are? Are they affiliated in the way that they say? And then there's a bit of a random selection and some ways to weight it so that you end up with a commission that's demographically and geographically diverse. So you don't want all your commissioners from Philly. You don't want all your commissioners from one particular demographic. You want them as balanced as you can. So there's some ways that that's done to in the selection process to get a diverse commission that represents both major parties, but also that unaffiliated and third-party folks have a voice. I would certainly apply. I think it would be fascinating to do. But I would have no more priority than other applicants. They would all be randomly selected. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are other Fair Districts folks who would be
also
eager,
interested
to apply. You know, one of the things that people say is, where are you going to find 11 just average citizens with the ability and the interest to do this? California put an independent commission in place before the 2010 redistricting cycle. They had thousands of people applying. Wow. And Michigan did that this most recent time. They also had thousands of people applying. I would say from my work with Fair Districts PA, there are many. We worked with Draw the Lines, which is a project that had mapping competitions. They had thousands of maps submitted, and many of the maps were far better than our past Pennsylvania House and Senate maps. I think there are many, many, many citizens who would be interested in doing this and who would have the ability to do a good job at it.
Who ultimately selects these commissioners?
The way the bill is constructed is there's random selection. And it's always interesting who leads it. So the Secretary of State, as the bill is drafted, but then the Ethics Commission is also, as the bill is drafted, the Ethics Commission, which is a group that's supposed to oversee, you know, ethical behavior in our state and local government. The Ethics Commission would be involved in helping to whittle that down to pools of candidates. And as the bill is written, they'd also be choosing the very last ones to balance out the demographic. There's going to be people who push back on that and say the Ethics Commission's not nonpartisan entity, the Secretary of State is not a nonpartisan entity. Our question is, the previous bill that Representative Samuelson had, it was entirely random selection with a weighted algorithm to give diversity. There were people who said, we don't like algorithms, we don't like random selection. Whatever we say, there's going to be somebody who doesn't
pushing
like
back.
It. This bill is a kind of an invitation to the conversation. You know, give us a better selection model to get a really independent, capable, diverse commission. That's the goal. Random selection, we think, would work perfectly fine. The way we've suggested, we think would work perfectly fine. There's got to be layers of separation between elected officials. That's the real goal, mm-hmm. is that they don't have their hand right in the middle of it drawing districts for themselves and their colleagues.
So do you believe the bill will actually move forward this time around? I know, it's a loaded question.
I would say the timing for this session is not good. So to get a constitutional amendment passed, and this is a constitutional amendment for Pennsylvania Constitution. Pennsylvania has one of the hardest processes for citizens to get a constitutional amendment passed. You have to get a bill passed in both chambers in two successive sessions with the exact same language, and then it goes to a referendum with the public vote. There are almost half of the states in the country have citizen initiative, so citizens can just write a bill and then get a lot of signatures and get it on the ballot. So Michigan, I mentioned, they started their process after we started Fair Districts PA. They, in 1 year, had all the signatures that they needed. They got a bill on the ballot, and they had an independent commission this last time around. To do it here in Pennsylvania, it's a long process. And the bill is dead by the summer recess before the next election, because Pennsylvania law says constitutional amendments have to be advertised for 3 months before the next general election. So this bill is actually dead the end of June. So the likelihood of getting this to go far between now and then is very small. The goal is to get it out there, have conversation with legislators, see who supports it before the next election, so that voters can say, oh, these legislators signed on, they support independent redistricting. These didn't. I'm going to vote for folks who really want to see voters have a stronger voice. So this is the start of a conversation. Next session, though, it's really important that we have the bill ready to go at the very start of the session, have the prime sponsors ready to go, and move really quickly to get that bill moving.
So another question. So the League of Women Voters puts out for each election who the candidates are. Would they include any information regarding this particular bill?
Sometimes they have. So in the past, they have included redistricting. This time, I don't believe that they did. This bill is taken some time to draft and to talk to legislators and to get it ready to introduce. We actually will be doing our own, what we call Know Before You Vote, contacting all candidates and putting on our website information about where they stand on redistricting. And I imagine as this moves forward, the League will again include, do you support an independent redistricting commission? Our website is fairdistrictspa.com. And we will have a Know Before You Vote section, not before the primary, but before the general election. There'll be a Know Before You Vote page so people can see where their candidates stand on this. And there's lots of other ways to get involved. So our website, fairdistrictspa.com, has a take action section, things like inviting a speaker to come and explain all of this to your local organization or your Rotary or your congregation or your graduate students or whoever you want. And we've done over 1,200 informational events since 2016, attended by over 47,000 people. So we've done a lot of work because informed citizens are really the only way to enact change in Pennsylvania. And even then, it's a tough go. But our goal is to have citizens informed about how the legislative process works and informed about the way redistricting works and insistent that this change. So take a look at fairdistrictspa.com. Look for the Take Action section. You can invite speakers. You can sign a petition. We've had over 102,000 Pennsylvanians sign a petition in support of an independent redistricting commission.
Mm-hmm. So if they want to sign a petition, where would they find that? Just
look for the Take Action section at fairdistrictspa.com. One other thing, we are encouraging folks to contact their legislators to support this. So if you look at the Take Action section, you'll see a Contact Your Legislator page, which gives you information about whether your legislator has supported this or not. And you can there's information how to contact your legislator to ask them to co-sponsor. So far, this bill has 35 co-sponsors. That was before it was introduced. As soon as it's introduced, people tend to sign on again once they see it. So we expect that number to rise quickly now that it has been formally introduced.
What was the reaction when you actually introduced it down in Harrisburg?
Well, there are many legislators who want to see this happen. Legislators from both sides who know that this gives leaders far too much control over their colleagues because the leaders can draw districts that make it more difficult for their colleagues. They can draw their colleagues right off the map if they want to. And that kind of power really corrupts the representation that our legislators have. So there are legislators from both sides who want to see this happen. Of course, there are leaders who don't want to see it happen. And it'll be an interesting conversation. There's been changes in leadership as the House this session has shifted to Democratic leadership for the first time in a long time. Will the Democratic leadership say, yes, we're going to move forward with this? Or will they do as their Republican colleagues have recently, which is block it? We'll see. But I think the real change will come from informed voters.
Well, my guest has been Carol Cunningholm from Fair Districts, Pennsylvania. She is the chair, and we've been discussing Pennsylvania House Bill 1776, a constitutional amendment to create an independent redistricting commission. My sincere thanks for your candid discussion and best wishes for success in progressing forward on the issue. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Let me just remind folks, fairdistrictspa.com if you want to learn more.
This is Karen Elchar. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to WDIY. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on the Elchar Chronicles. If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.